How many of you understand what the core group is? How many of you know what the core group is? I believe the core group is the lifeline of the church. It's those that want to go a little bit deeper and a little bit further in the Lord. How many of you tonight want to go to another level with God? You want to go to another level? We're just going to release the Spirit of God's grace tonight to take us to that next level that He has for us. I really believe that God wants every one of us to breathe a fresh air of the Spirit, if you will, to bring growth, to bring maturity to us. Jesus told us that we are His disciples if we continue in His Word. And that's what the core group does. That's what disciples do. Among everything else they do, they continue in the Word of God. You know why? Because the Word of God will never fail. It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. It's forever settled in heaven. God has already decreed a thing. And what God decrees, it shall come to pass. And so we're here tonight. We're just students of the Word of God. Because we want to follow Jesus. We have decided, made that quality decision from which there is no turning back. And I want you to see something tonight as I share this word with you. I saw something here that I believe tonight will grab your attention. The disciples were able to discern when Jesus was speaking to the core group and when He was speaking to the multitudes. It's not really that Jesus was saying something different, but they were listening and hearing different. Those that have a sincere heart, those that have a desire, a hunger. That's what the core group is about. A people that have a hunger for God. That in reality, people look at us and they wonder, what's wrong with us? But we look at them and say, what's wrong with you? Amen. Amen. We love God. And He said, those that love Him will obey His commandments. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Look at this closely. It says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together. Innumerable, look at this, multitude of people had gathered together. Now I want to just tell you something. Jesus did not have any trouble getting crowds. Crowds are something that follow the anointing. But you know, circuses can have crowds. Parades have crowds. Political rallies have crowds. But here it says the multitude. Now look at this. Innumerable multitude of people had gathered together that they trampled one another. One translation says that they were so packed that they began to push and shove and step on one another. How many of you ever been in a place where there's large crowds? I mean, you know, I've been to professional football games and so on and so forth, and there's large crowds. And I've been to, we went to some things in Mexico one time, and I mean, the crowd was so massive and so thick that you were like sardines. And of course, I'm a little taller and And we were just holding on to him because you couldn't move. It's just like if you fell, you would be crushed by all the multitude of people. So there was the multitudes that came to hear what Jesus had to say. But look at this. He began to say to his disciples first, out of all the multitude, people had come to see the miracles, to see the signs, the wonders, and all that Jesus was doing at that time in Israel in his day. But yet, he spoke to the disciples first. He had something to say. Now look at this, because there's a distinction between the crowds and the disciples. The disciples are those that stick around to hear what the Lord is saying. The disciples are not those that come with their own agenda, but they come to receive from God. There's a difference, and I want you to see this, because the Bible says here, first he spoke to the disciples before he spoke to the multitude. Now, how many of you know there's a lot of reasons that people come to church? I mean, they're too numerous for me to sit here and use my time to tell you all the... I mean, there's people that you know, come for various reasons. There's people that come just Sunday morning once in a while. There's people that come when you dedicate a child or grandchild, they come. And people come on Easter. Some come on Christmas. But disciples continue. Amen. I'm trying to teach you something tonight about the core group of the church. The core group is the heartbeat of the church. The core group is where those that desire more from God and desire to understand and to discover what their gift, what their calling in God is, so they can serve God. They didn't get saved one Sunday and decided that they would come back the next time they had a need. Amen. See, that's what is different about you. Amen. You're not here tonight because you had an emotional experience one time. You had a rush because somebody preached and you received the Lord, and that's all it was, and you blew it off until the next time you stumble and fail. You're here tonight to go on with God. You're here tonight to receive everything that God has for you. So there's a distinction, and I want you to see this in the Bible tonight, that there's a distinction between the crowd and the disciples. Jesus, in John's gospel, said, "You are my disciple if you continue in my word." Continue in my word. These are the followers. These are the ones that, you know, when Jesus was, or before his ascension, he ministered to over 500 people in one setting there after his appearance. And his instruction were to go to Jerusalem, remember? And wait there in that upper room in prayer, waiting for the promise of the Spirit to come. Now let me ask you a question. Did he come? Did he come? Did the Holy Spirit come on the day of Pentecost and fall upon the people, and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues and begin to praise and magnify God? My question is what happened to the 380? Did they have a special sale at the mall? Did they get caught up so much in work that they couldn't follow the Lord's command? Come on. I'm trying to show you the difference between a disciple and just the crowd. You're here on Wednesday night. You're not just part of the crowd. You're part of the core. And out of the core comes the heartbeat of the church. Because that's where is raised up the gifts and the callings of God. The apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers and the servants and the hearts to serve God. That's what you're here for. That's what you're here for. Well, here's some lessons. Here's what Jesus had to say. Let's look. Here's the first thing he said. He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So here's the first thing. Here's the first thing. When you look around and you examine the ministry of Jesus, he would constantly make a distinction between the crowds and the multitudes. He would say things like, "You have to take up your cross daily and follow me. If you lose your life, you will find your life." He was constantly speaking a word into the disciples' hearing. The crowds hear something different. Are you with me? And so the first thing he tells them is that you have to get delivered from a hypocritical spirit. You can't be, if you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't be one way in church and be another way outside of church. If you think about a hypocrite and what a hypocrite is, if you look at the definition in the original language, it means to mimic or to act. It's used to act out, if you will, somebody that is acting a role, but they go off stage, they remove their mask, they remove their costume and their makeup, and they're a different person. Now that's the actual definition of a hypocrite. Somebody that is one way part of the time and another way the other part of the time. And the first thing Jesus is saying to the disciples, because he spoke to them first, is beware of the leaven of the Pharisee, which is hypocrisy. Verse 2 goes on and says, "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known." Now that's a scary thought. "Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops." In other words, you may think nobody is hearing you, but God hears you. You may think you get by saying that, but God has heard you. In other words, what he is saying to us, if you are in these situations, it's better to go ahead and get it out now than for it to be discovered later in front of everybody. Amen. The first quality or the first lesson to the core is to be genuine, to be transparent, to be real. I think most people would rather see the real deal than a copy, an imitation. You know, you can go into the dollar store and you can buy some clothes that look like the designer clothes, the real expensive ones, you know. They look just hanging on the rack there on the shelf. You know, the $10 jeans. But you wash them one time. And you find out that they were an imitation. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, in other words, nobody wants an imitation. Nobody wants to see a Christian that says they're a Christian, but on the outside they're ugly. It has to be like a microwave oven. It has to start working on the inside out. We can't be, you know, clean on the inside and ugly on the outside and be genuine. See, Jesus is talking here and he's saying something. I think, you know, again, please don't misunderstand me. Our goal is to strive towards that perfection, but we are not perfect. There is none of us in the room tonight that can say that we're perfect. And I know, you know, probably some of you look at me and think, I'm perfect, but I'm not. Amen. You can ask my wife. I mean, she had an energy drink today. Can you tell? Her battery is charged. Amen? And so, here's the point I'm making to you. If you're leading a hypocritical life, and he's giving this lesson to the disciples, because he's not just talking about the Pharisees. We know they were hypocritical. The Pharisees would stand up and preach down to the people, and they would condemn the people and quote the law to the people and judge the people. But but Jesus was teaching something more than that. He was saying to his disciples that you cannot be hypocrites like the Pharisees. In other words, be one way in the church and another way out there in the world. Because what happens is that you confuse yourself and you confuse others. Because if you're one way with a certain group of people, then you're going to get confused and forget what you told them. And the next time you get with another group, you're going to forget how you registered with them. And pretty soon, you're going to be like a cat with a long tail in a room full of rocking chairs. Amen. You're going to be nervous. Because you never know how, you know, to face somebody, because the hypocrite is always ashamed. They always have their head down when they're trying to be real. Come on, somebody. God didn't call us to put our head down. He called us to lift our heads up. He called us to walk tall. He called us to put a spring in our step and to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Are you with me, church? Okay. So hypocrisy makes us nervous, especially when it is about us. But I'm talking about because you're in the process of change. Again, we're not perfect, but we're in the process of changing. We're in the process of becoming that new person in Christ Jesus. We learn how to develop our walk. We learn how to develop our talk. Never feel as disciple that you're going to become a super spiritual person. I've seen people that thought they were so spiritual that really they reminded me of that old TV program where like the Martian with the little things coming out their head. Stop thinking that you're going to become some super spiritual Christian, holier than thou. Just be real. Amen. Be what God has called you to be and do what God has called you to do. Why? Because people are tired of seeing imitations and people that are not real, especially in the Christian world. So that's the first thing that Jesus was talking. He spoke to the disciples first. Now look at verse 4 and 3. Because genuine and transparency and openness, what you see is what you get. There's the first lesson right there. The first quality of a disciple. Are you with me? Amen. Verse 4 says, and I say to you, my friends, Now he's addressing friends, okay? Not the multitude, not the crowds. He said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Now this is the same scripture I read Sunday. How many of you were here Sunday? How many know we talked about hell? Let me ask you a question. Do you think it was okay to talk about hell and show the reality? That there's a real hell? Okay, I just want to get your opinion on that. Because there's something here that he's telling the disciples. And he's telling them that you have to get delivered from what people think. You have to get delivered from the opinions of man. If you don't get delivered from the opinions of man, you will never be used in the gifts and the call that God has placed on your life like God intends for you to be used. You cannot go around trying and worrying about what somebody says about you. Unless it's true. If it's true, then just admit it, quit it, and repent from it. Okay, are you with me?
Yes.
He says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more than they can do. That's all man can do, right? That's all that man can do. That's all the devil can do is kill the body. So we're not afraid of that, but what we better fear is God, because he's the one that will have the ultimate say-so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, say so. He's the judge, okay? So here's the second quality that Jesus is trying to get across, I believe, to the disciples, is that, first of all, you got to be genuine. You got to be transparent. You got to be the real deal. What you see is what you get. And the second quality is that you've got to be fearless, free, or delivered from the fear of man. And when you get to that place, then you can launch out and you can bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Because Jesus is your Lord. And Jesus is the one that has called you, and he's the one that will equip you. And he, remember, is the author and the finisher of your faith. So I remember the day that I got delivered from trying to impress people. Thank God. Because if you go around trying to impress people and you're concerned about every opinion that everybody has, you're going to be a basket case. You're going to be unusable for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So the second quality of a core disciple is that they're delivered from the fear of man and holding the opinions of man in higher esteem than what God says. Maybe we'll just lift our hands right now and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that will help me be genuine, that I will not have a hypocritical spirit in me at all. I will be real. What you see is what you will get. Come on. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, in the name of Jesus, from delivering me from the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. You can't be timid. You can't be shy when it comes to serving God. Amen. All right. Well, here's the third quality in verse 13. It says, then one from the crowd. Now notice, now one from the crowd comes. Jesus has been teaching all these wonderful things. He's been teaching them about the love of God and that God is the one that's able to be the final say-so where man will spend eternity. He's talking about the leaven and the hypocritical spirit, if you will, of the Pharisees. And here comes this man who has been hearing in the crowd say, Jesus, would you make my brother give me the money that he owes me so I can have my part of my inheritance? And Jesus looked at him, I'm just paraphrasing, said, what is the matter with you? All this that Jesus was expounding on And he didn't hear it. He was interested in something totally different. Can you see how people can come to a church, sit in a church, and totally miss what the Spirit of God is saying? This is the difference between the core group. This is the difference between the disciple and the multitude and the crowds. He said, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus said, but he said to him, man, who made me judge or an arbitrator over you? Well, here's the third quality, okay? You have to get free from the love of money. You know, I'm sure most of you love the Lord. I'm sure most of you in here tonight love God. But you know what? You're going to have to get free from the love of money in order to serve the Lord with all your heart. You know, I don't have any trouble at all with tithing. But did you know less than 10% of the people that call themselves Christian, I just read the statistic last week, actually tithe? I heard a pastor say, well, in our church, we have a special section for the non-tithers. And we put them over in this area. Now, they have to stand because they don't get pews. There's no air conditioning for them. And there's no lighting. There's no sound system for them. And there's no nursery for their babies. But they're welcome. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But I heard somebody actually say, "Well, I don't believe in that. I just go to the church to hear what they got to preach about." Well, that's ignorance gone to seed. Amen. All right. So, a disciple Jesus. In fact, you can go from verse 13 all the way down to verse 34. Jesus taught more in this disciple chapter of Luke's gospel here, chapter 12, about money and the love of money and you know, going after the building the bigger barns and, you know, concerning yourself more what you're going to do with what you got. And Jesus said, well, when it's all said and done, you know, you ain't taking this with you. We have to remember that, folks. Yes, God wants to bless us. Yes, God wants us to prosper. That's why he says the same thing here he said in Matthew. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God. Look at it in verse 11, or 31 rather. It says, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to us. Amen. So Jesus is just teaching here. He's teaching here because he said it is the Father's pleasure. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If God wants to give us the kingdom, how many know that kingdom is the realm where the king reigns and there is that unlimited resources that God has? So we have to really understand that what Jesus was saying, that we have to be genuine, we have to be transparent, and we have to be free from man, but we also have to be free from the love of money. Because if we love money more than we love God, then the money becomes our God and takes us away from God. Now, I'm talking to the disciples here tonight. I'm talking to the core. Yes. Okay. Remember, Jesus made a distinction here talking to the disciples and to the multitude. All right? Are you with me? All right? You have to come back. Look at verse, let me give you the fourth one right here. The fourth quality is, let's look at verse 36. Well, verse 35 says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Let me read that out of the, you know, that King James kind of, you know, kind of doesn't unravel that. Here's the message. It says, keep your shirts on and keep the lights on. Now, look what he's saying. He said, here's what he's saying. Look what he's saying. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. And when he comes and knocks, they may be open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will be found watching. Now, let's just stop right there. Now, we're talking about the quality of a disciple. We're talking about the quality of a core group of people is a people who are alert, who have the light on. You know, again, there are those that will sit in the church, and it just amazes you what they hear, but really they don't hear because they're asleep. Listen to me. When you're not alert, you're not receiving what the Spirit of God wants you to receive. And if you don't receive what the Spirit of God wants you to receive, then you can't grow. You can't mature. You're not following in the path of a disciple. You just become part of the crowd. You don't get involved in anything. You don't get involved in any of the projects that are going on. You don't get involved in what the activities are. And I know we can get to doing a whole lot of things. And I'm not talking about getting so busy that we can't, you know, function. And we all have duties. And we all have responsibilities. But you know what? What he's saying here is that your lifestyle has to reflect the fact that you are a Christian and that Jesus is coming back and that you have to live your life ready for him at any moment. Because he is coming back and he's going to knock on the door, and if you're out playing around somewhere or where you shouldn't be, you're not going to be there to answer the door. Now that's what he's saying. We are to live and walk with the Lord. This is what a disciple does. This is what a core member, this is what a core group does, is they walk with the Lord daily. Now, I'd like to get down to the place where I walk hour by hour or minute by minute. I'm not quite there yet, because I have to confess to you, I don't think about the Lord every second of every day. But at least I get up thinking about the Lord. And I go to bed thinking about the Lord. And I read my Bible and I pray. But when you're asleep, you're not alert. And when you're not alert, you become a prime subject for the devil to come and be his disciple. Now listen. You have to get to the place where you're alert, where you train yourself. I've taught you these things. You've got to train yourself to hear in the church and not be distracted by the other elements or the other activities or the things that are going on around you. That's why we don't want the little babies in here and the children, you know, to interrupt and distract, because they're children. That's what children do. But you know, if you get in a plane, for example, an airplane, and you go up to a certain altitude, if the oxygen system isn't working in that plane, did you know that you will pass out and go to sleep if you don't have the right amount of oxygen? I heard a true story about a couple that, I don't know where they were from, but they had a private jet, because they got in this jet and they took off to go on their vacation. And it was a family, and they took their chihuahua with them. And they got up to a certain altitude and something malfunctioned with the oxygen system. And they all just went to sleep. Pilot went to sleep. And that happened, this really happened. Remember that golfer about 10 years ago, Payne Stewart, he just got up. The oxygen system wasn't working. It was on autopilot, and they flew halfway across the country. And it finally just, you know, when you run out of gas, you're going down. And anyway, they were in that plane, and the oxygen system malfunctioned. And the only person that was sensible and awake was the chihuahua. And the chihuahua started barking. You know, just barking. And he began to bark so much because he sensed, you know, something was wrong. And it finally woke up one of the people, and they got everybody, and they got the attention of the pilots, and they finally got things under control, or they would have crashed. Thank God for the little chihuahua. Well, God puts chihuahuas in your life. I don't know where I'm going with this. To wake us up, amen? Because if we just put this thing on autopilot, we're going to be up there where there's no oxygen mixed with our breathing, and we're going to crash and we're going to burn. So that quality has to be one that is alert and pays attention, amen? And then finally here, verse 37. And this is what I like, because you see, if we're not careful, we'll preach the user-friendly gospel. Just relax. And that's what you do when the oxygen is light. You're just in la-la land, okay? Well, I don't believe church ought to be la-la land. I know some people are like, well, Pastor, you're hard. You're preaching about hell. Well, we need to know about hell. We need to know. We need to know. We need to know. We need to be woken up. Because just because we're part of the core group, if we go to sleep, we can fall back. Okay? So here's the last one. Because I got to close here. But in verse 38, it talks about, here's another. You got to be alert. Everybody say alert.
Alert.
All right? And then look what happens here. I wish I had time to read all this. And Peter said in verse 41, he said, Lord, now look at this. Do you speak this parable only to us, the core, or to all the people? Did you see that? Did you catch that?
Yes.
Did you catch that? The disciples, Peter especially here, at least he had sense enough to discern that when the Lord spoke, that he was speaking something that would produce life and peace into them. And he asked the question. And Jesus answers the question. If you read it all there, you'll find out that he said to him in verse, let me read the verse to you. Verse 42, it says, who then is that faithful and wise steward? And so he begins to talk about faithfulness. So here's the last quality I want you to see tonight, is that the quality of a faithful disciple, a core person, is one who is faithful. They have to be genuine. They have to be fearless. They have to be alert, content, and faithful. You know why? Because look at verse 43. It says, blessed is that servant whom when his master will find, when that master comes, his master will find so doing when he comes. Now, that's what we do. The Lord has been dealing with me about, you know, training up leaders. Amen. Where do leaders come from? They come out of the core group. They come out of those that have learned to grow and desire more in their walk with God. We're lifers. Aren't you in this for life?
Yes, sir.
And so I'm going to talk about, you know, the fivefold ministry. Not just getting up here in the pulpit and preaching. But how many know the apostles? There's the offices. All these five-fold ministries ought to operate and flow in the church. They ought to be like a river flowing in and out of the church. Well, the apostles, they train leaders. And come on up, brother. I'm done. And they develop leaders so that they can move into leadership in the church. Doesn't mean you're an apostle, but it just means you're sent to living word. To be a leader or to be trained as a leader.
Amen.
Come on. The prophets, those are the people who sing and worship and pray and believe for the presence of God in that local church. How many know we need the presence of God here? We need the presence of God. If not, what do we have? We just have another religious meeting. And hey, I tell you, there's a lot of churches that don't have the presence of God that have more crowd than we got. But thank God you're here on a Wednesday night.
Amen. You're part of the core. Then the evangelists, people who will do the outreach. They don't have fear of man. They're not ashamed to witness. They're ready. They're like Weta was now. They're like a Coke bottle shook up, ready to just spew over the place. You're not ashamed to tell people about. Why should we be in this United States and be ashamed to tell anybody about Jesus? Pastors, people who minister to the flock, who are, you know, yeah, you're already saved. You love God, but do you want to go to another level? The teachers, those who study the Word. You've got to study the Word to be a teacher, because the teacher has to break down that Word so that people can digest it, stomach it. Come on, somebody. And so let me end with this word, faithful, tonight. How many of you want to be faithful to the Lord? Would you just stand up with me on your feet? One of the last...